You can text, you can phone call. It's still not a smartphone, so you can put it away. Not everybody had it in their hands all day long. 2008, to fast forward the story, that is when the smartphone, suddenly everybody had one. And now you're literally doing more business on your phone than you are from your laptop.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. It's Ben Baker. And thank you, my wonderful audience, for joining me yet again. Thank you for all your comments on LinkedIn. Thank you for getting in touch with me. It's Ben at yourbrandmarketing.com. I love hearing your comments, love hearing your ideas. And I've got a treat for you yet again today. This week, we are going to talk about creating a category with Bonnie Sussman Strominger. She is the CEO, the brains, the brilliance, the idea generator behind GoLids. Bonnie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Ben. What a pleasure to be here.
Well, you and I have known each other for years, and I have watched you grow, blossom, do incredible things. First of all, I love your videos. We're going to make sure that we get a couple of your videos. We're going to put them within the show notes because you do the most incredible viral videos, and they're so much fun. And they're, you know, they basically in 10 seconds or less or 15 seconds or less really tell your story. So I'm giving you kudos for that right off the bat.
Thank you so much. We've delved in with video, and it's become our best, most effective storytelling tool that we've got. And it's interesting because LinkedIn didn't have video for such a long time. And we had to tell our story through images and copy, and none of it even remotely compares to the power of storytelling on a video.
Absolutely. Because your product, and we're going to get into this, is such a visual product in order to be able to get it. You tell people what it is and they go, huh? And then all of a sudden you give them an image, you give them a video, you demonstrate what it does. And it's one of those head slappers. It's like, why didn't I think of this? It makes so much sense. You know, it's so logical. It's so helpful that I think that it's going to be one of these things that's going to, you know, eventually go to the moon. But let's start off a little bit about you. Let's start off a bit about Bonnie, where you came from, where you are today, what brought you to actually come up with GoLids, and explain a little bit about what GoLids are, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. So, you know, the actual aha concept moment happened back in the 90s. And I was in college in Arizona. I'm dating myself. That's okay. And I was on a bad date with a bad guy, and he had no manners. And we went to the concession stand. We got popcorn and hot dogs and sodas and you name it. We had it. And this goofball gave me everything to carry on my own. I had trays, soda. I mean, you name it. I couldn't fathom why was I carrying it. And then why didn't I say anything? Bigger question. But I guess young and stupid, you know, on a date, young and stupid. So we get into the theater. Long story short, we climb over people to get into the center of the aisle. And what do you know? What's a classic story in movie theater? Falling over. I tripped on this man's giant knee and everything went over. Popcorn, the soda. The lids came off the soda. So I soaked dozens of people that were calling me things that I cannot repeat on your podcast.
Well, thank you. We'll leave it to people's imagination.
Yeah, I'm sure people can just imagine you're at a theater and trying to enjoy yourself. And here's this, you know, 6-foot monster who just dumped food all over us and ruined our evening. But I walked out of there and, well, first of all, I sat during the movie and I did tear up and, yeah, I was obviously very upset. I was on the floor of that sticky, disgusting theater floor with my face. I hurt myself, actually. I scuffed my elbow. It was a whole disaster. But I kept thinking that that should not have happened and that the hot dogs and the sodas, that somehow they should have been connected. Really, it was just not a flushed out thought. It was just in my mind. I walked out of the theater. I named the product that I thought it should be called. And that's not GoLids today, of course. And that was it. I went home. I kind of sketched it on a piece of paper. I went on to college. I graduated school. I moved back to New York and I got into the corporate world. And I never really thought of pursuing it because I always say to entrepreneurs that contact me, that want advice, some guidance, how to get started, you know, where do we begin this journey? And I always say, you have to figure out, is this a nice to have, or are you actually solving a problem? Because if it's nice to have, that's great. You just might not sell anything. If it's solving a problem, then you have a chance at actually being successful and getting wide adoption with your product. To that end, I did think it was inconvenient what happened at the theater, but there were no phones. No one had a cell phone back in the 90s. We were all still living in the, you know, the archaic times, and we weren't really down a hand. You know, we weren't seeing people struggling. Now, fast forward to 2000, everyone gets a phone, a flip phone. You can text, you can phone call. It's still not a smartphone, so you can put it away. Not everybody had it in their hands all day long. 2008, to fast forward the story, that is when the smartphone, suddenly everybody had one. And now you're literally doing more business on your phone than you are from your laptop. And that's when I said, okay, now I'm really observing and noticing and looking around in my life and realizing that there's an issue. People are coming in and out of places like Starbucks and Dunkin' and all those places that you go to, and people are struggling. They've got the phone in their hand that they don't want to put down now. They have strollers, they have children, laptops, all kinds of devices, packages from other locations. And I'm realizing, okay, well, what is the impact on that experience as a brand? And what is the impact on their bottom line of people not accepting their upsell? You know, if you go to Starbucks, you're going there for usually a drink. It's not like, let's go have lunch at Starbucks. But of course, Starbucks wants to sell you something to eat off their menu while you're there. And if it's not convenient, since convenience really is driving purchasing decisions across every industry, it's what's making us all thrive is convenience. And how much money do they lose? So if they can sell a combo to every single person that walks in and out of that door, that's a lot of money. And that's where we get away from being a commodity, which we'll talk about later when we get more into the categorical difference between what we are and the standard, you know, couplet. But the biggest thing is that I was thriving in the corporate world, and there was no particular reason for me to be leaving to pursue this. So I started sketching. I started figuring out how would this work from an engineering standpoint. But I was also employed, and I spent 20 years in two industries, one in 10 years in fashion, 10 years in real estate. And what was the reason to leave jobs where I was thriving? I was making a nice living. I didn't have a problem supporting myself. I wasn't engaged or married yet. I am now. And, you know, it was a big leap to make. That's a jump off the cliff type of moment. And every entrepreneur will tell you it's really scary and it's a massive risk. And when you can't pinpoint the reason, because nothing's really wrong, but I was unfulfilled. And that's the answer. So I was unhappy, unfulfilled, and I didn't think my destiny was to be in an industry working for another company. And, you know, Ben, I sleep with a pad next to my bed.
I think most entrepreneurs do.
Yes. And, you know, just that constant wake up at 4 a.m, that's if I'm not awake already, jotting down notes, you know, potentially notes regarding go lids, additional products we can add, and notes regarding brand new products that have nothing to do with go lids, you know, to add on more to our plates. Like, we need that. But that's going to happen.
Well, let's unpack all this, because where you came from and where you are is a perfect segue into, you know, and what happened next. But it's understanding and being patient enough to realize that in the 1990s, when you were at that movie theater and you came up with this idea, that it was a difference between nice to have and a must have. And at that stage of the game, we both all had two hands. You know, we had two hands. Today, none of us has two hands anymore. We always have a phone in our hand. You're right. Or we have a kid in our hand, or we're, you know, carrying a purse, or we're carrying a, you know, something, and we're down a hand. And because And we're multitasking. And because of that, what was easy to grab a tray and to be able to, you know, carry more stuff and be, you know, more stable became unstable. And all of a sudden, you know, there was a lot more wastage, a lot more spillage, a lot more accidents. And also the fact that you're sitting there going in categories, you know, in the categories that you're in, which is the quick convenience category,
right?
That people are looking for margin creators. And you're absolutely correct, where we're dealing with a situation where, you know, you can only make so much money off a cup of coffee, but if you, or a drink, and those are high margin items. However, if you could add a donut to it or a hot dog to it or fries to it or something to it, all of a sudden you're making margin off dual products. And what I want people to understand is what exactly the GoLid is. And you know, you're going to have to take a look at the videos and the pictures in the show notes to get a really good idea. But what's the concept behind it in terms of a physical piece? And how does it solve that problem in a way that's that aha moment?
That's the perfect question. So it literally is replacing a standard beverage cup lid. So it becomes the new lid on the cup. We actually have a lid embedded in the product, and that creates the stirrable, the sturdy, stable grip that it has. And for anyone who's watched our videos, you know, we do some crash testing. We do some pretty funny things.
Literally crash testing.
Literally crash testing, like bumping into cars where people outside are like, what are you guys doing? Why would you do something? Why did you just bump into a pole on purpose? You know, not to injure ourselves, but to prove that the product is that sturdy and stable. And that's why video has become such a powerful medium for us. But it replaces their lid. So on one hand, you have a commodity lid, standard lid. You can't serve a beverage unless you put a lid on it, right? Our lid, yes, is the lid. It's covering the cup, but it adds food and is covering the food as well, which of course—
So it's an integrated clamshell. What it is, it's an integrated clamshell that the cup goes underneath it, it attaches to the bottom of the clamshell. And not only can you have access for your food, but you can also put a straw in this thing, drink it with the lid closed, so you're keeping your food safe. But you can also open up the clamshell when you're ready to eat.
And you could drink it with the lid open too.
Correct.
So it goes through a separate chamber in the back. There's no interaction between the straw, the liquid, and the food. It's completely encased. So that's the beauty of it, is you can open and close it, drink open, drink closed. Now, with COVID, the value of the cover is you can't put a price on it.
Sure, I'm not sneezing in somebody's food anymore.
Everything is sealed all the way around. You know, think of a stadium where you're eating in your seat. Stadiums, theater, they're never going to serve anything wide open ever again. Everything's going to have a cover, everything, including a popcorn bucket. So there will always be a way for you to open your food and enjoy it and quickly cover it up if you don't feel comfortable. And well, I don't think anyone's going to feel comfortable for quite some time, if ever really again. This has put a brand new hypersensitive mode on all of us, and just that level of insecurity, really. And when you're around other people that, even if you're vaccinated, you know, you're still not 100% safe. Better, but there's no guarantee.
So there's obviously the COVID, you know, germaphobe, you know, whole scenario of it. And I love what that does for that. But let's take it back to the practical things of where, I mean, because you've been talking about this for years. You and I have been talking about GoLids for years.
Yes.
What I want to talk about is that this is a new category. It's taking a food container, it's taking a drink lid, and it's combining the two in such a way that what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to be more, utilize your hands better. I mean, you've got, what, 7 patents now on this particular product?
7 patents. We have a registered trademark on the name, you know, and this is all... We started back in 12. So this coming August is 9 years. I can't even see straight when I say that number out loud, because I cannot believe how much we've gone through in 9 years. But yeah, I mean, when you think about a new category, being an entrepreneur is hard enough as it is. Creating a product, a service, whatever it is that you're doing that's entrepreneurial is so painful, incredibly hard process. No one skates through it. There are no overnight successes. I have yet to hear one of an overnight success. And it's a guaranteed fact that you need to fail to go forward. And so if I ever hear anyone tell me that they never failed and they're wildly successful, I don't even buy it. I really don't. I don't know anyone that hasn't fallen on their face. And that's a good thing, because if you don't fail, then really you don't learn. And you're not,
well, you're not pushing yourself hard enough.
You're not taking enough risks along the way. And being an entrepreneur comes with risk taking. If you're not comfortable with risk, then you cannot be an entrepreneur. I don't care who you are. That word is synonymous with being an entrepreneur, because it's all risk. And what is the success rate of an entrepreneur? Now, an entrepreneur creating a brand new category is Herculean. It's the best word that I could use to describe this journey that we've been on. Because not only are you bringing a new product to market, but there's a level of, well, we're replacing a standard lid. Where do standard lids come from? Packaging incumbents, massive companies that have dominated the market and that space since the beginning of time. And here we are, this company coming in boldly with this new lid that doesn't exist in the world. We're asking operators to change how they serve. Huge ask. When you look at a QSR, a stadium, a theme park, anywhere, how they serve.
Sorry, QSR.
Oh, QSR. Sorry, I'm doing
quick serve retail.
Quick service restaurant.
Exactly.
Fast food, basically. Drive-throughs, that's all the QSR world. And then you've got fast casual, which is more of like a TGIF, Fridays, where you can go in and sit down. And all these places, how they serve their operations, that is the lifeblood of what they do. It also is tied to speed, because the faster they serve, the more money they make. Slower they go, not good. So when you hear about all these competitions of who's got the best drive-through in the country, it's heavily based, yes, on customer experience, service, menu, category innovation, but a huge component of that is speed, because they want to move you. I have an expression that I use, which is speed turns into greed. And I say that in the nicest of ways. The faster they can serve you, the quicker they can move you out the door and get to the next order.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. Subway, for example, is looking at creating somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000 drive-thrus over the next little while. I mean, think about it, creating 3,000 new drive-thrus where they're realizing that that is the next level of where people want to go in terms of the customer experience, being able to not get out of their car, be able to grab the food on the go, drive away, and eat where they want to eat.
Feel safe, feel protected, your family's in the car with you, your friends, whoever, and you don't need to get out. You don't need to expose yourself. And now that drive-thru is going to be, it is 90% of their revenue. And so if you're a brand and you don't have a drive-thru operation, I'm talking, you know, a big brand, then yeah, I mean, Shake Shack, it was in the news. They're doing the same thing. They're going to build up a massive drive-thru presence.
And I'm thinking about your product. How many times have I stopped short because I've driven somewhere and all of a sudden somebody jumps out in front of me or a red light or whatever, and I've got fries everywhere or I've got a burger that's lying in the passenger seat, you know, exposed all over the place because I haven't been able to grab it fast enough before it goes for a fly.
It's such a mess, Ben. I mean, And when you think of timing, so GoLids done correctly should, in every scenario, speed them up big time. Because now, if you watch anyone get their food at a drive-thru, nothing's ever handed out the window in one fell swoop. It's, hello, sir. Thank you for coming to McDonald's today. Here's your drinks. Guy takes the drinks, brings them in. Here are your bags. Here is the bag of sauces. Like that person puts their hand out the window at least two times, sometimes way more than that. Now you've got this experience of you hand GoLids through the window. The top is transparent. There's no check in the bag. So that slows them down too. No one wants to drive away from that drive-thru and not make sure that the chicken sandwich and the fries that you ordered is in the bag.
And it's not a quarter pounder with fries.
Exactly. And they make mistakes because why? They're human. Humans make mistakes. And now if you drive off that line, you either have to park your car and go in, which is the opposite of the convenience of the drive-thru, or you've got to get on that line and drive all the way around and wait again. And boy, are you angry when you have to do that. So people take their sweet time. Every second of time is money being lost. That you add up how many seconds they lose an hour, how many customers is that number? What is that metric? And trust me when I tell you, they do look at these numbers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, McDonald's and all these type of things, they have efficiency experts that go in and sit there and say, how many meals are we serving per hour? How many meals are we serving per minute? You know, how long does it take to, you know, from the second it's rung into the cash register to the minute that the person walks out the door? All these things are being looked at through any of these type of restaurants, because you're right, you're dealing with a $3, $4, $5 meal. There's pennies in profit, and those pennies are being eaten up every single time something is wrong, something takes a little longer, being able to serve fewer people, all these type of things. But
loss prevention, really.
Loss prevention.
How much are we losing today?
So before we finish off on that, and that's important. But what I really want to get into is, what have been the challenges that you have faced in category creation? Because it's not just, here's a better mousetrap. Everybody's going to take it. Everybody, you know, I've created something that's absolutely wonderful. Everybody's going to think of this as obvious. Everybody's going to buy it right away. There's not enough Brinks trucks in the world for me to roll up and cash my checks. We all know that's not reality.
It is a delusion I think a lot of entrepreneurs have in the beginning. And I can add us to that list. When you see something that blows your mind, and you say, okay, this could be great for our business. This could be great for our customers, for brand loyalty. Sign us up. It just doesn't work that way. Just doesn't. You just have to, you know, they don't want to just find a product. They want to find an organization. They want to understand what kind of culture you have. What kind of values does this company have? Who are the people here? What do they stand for? What kind of leadership is this? Can we trust them? Are they going to be here next year? Is this a fly-by-night operation? Is this some goofy, hacky type product that they chuck together? How much R&D did they spend on this thing? Is it worthy? What iteration are they on? The questions are endless. And you've got to go through every phase of that and prove yourself on that journey before you're going to get a brand that's going to step in and say, let's do it.
And above and beyond that, it's also the fact that you're disrupting their flow. By doing this, you are disrupting, you know, they've built cases to hold all the cups. They've put location for all the bags and all that kind of stuff. They know where all the bags are. They know where the cups are. They know how they're buying them, et cetera, et cetera. They're sitting there going, okay, this is a different size box. This is a different size, footprint. Where are we going to store these things so that they are able to be utilized seamlessly within our organization? There are so many things that you're sitting there going, it doesn't matter if it's a better mousetrap. The question is it a better mousetrap that's going to allow them to work as efficiently or better efficiently? And how much is it going to disrupt their business flow while they're getting everybody used to it?
Exactly. And those are the very questions that we had to learn along the way to it's not, we had to kind of look, step back and say, it isn't just, it's not about us. It's about them. So we have to be putting ourselves in their situation, saying, what's bothering them? What's going to bother them? Get over the whole, this is the most innovative thing I've ever seen. This is amazing. This could do this, this, and that. And that's not good enough. And that's what we need to learn over time. So one, for one, golets, they nest. They nest and they stack flat. And so you can stack 100 up on the counter. Things like that. If it wasn't nested, if they didn't stack flat, where are they going to put these things? And so these are all the elements we had to work through. What is the operational flow? How do things work? What's the process? And the process at a QSR is going to be different than the process at a convenience store when someone walks into a C store because they have got self-serve machines, right? And this is not the kind of lid you're going to leave out by a self-serve machine. People drop stuff on the ground. And now with COVID, well, who knows what's going on with self-serve? Touching everything, all the touch points. And, you know, I don't even know if that's fully been addressed or if it's ever going to really be addressed. But all those elements, those are the barriers to entry. It's truly figuring everything out. So it's a seamless process. And that's what makes it so difficult.
So along with that, you've also figured out the standard sizing of cups. So therefore, it's going to fit a McDonald's cup. It's going to fit a Starbucks cup. It's going to fit a 7-Eleven cup, whatever. You've found the standard size cups and be able to create lids that are going to be able to work with different, you know, different manufacturers. But by doing that, you're cutting into billion-dollar companies. You know, you have companies like Solo and other major packaging manufacturers and, you know, behemoths out there that are, you know, tight with these QSRs. They've been selling to them for years. They sell billions of dollars of product to these people.
Yeah.
How have you been able to overcome that? Because that to me is almost a bigger challenge than it is almost selling to the actual companies themselves, is to be able to realize that these large, you know, enormous companies are not going to roll over just because Bonnie and Golids has walked in the door. So how are you able to sit there and say, okay, here's how we differentiate ourselves. Here's how we add value. Here's how we're able to either work hand in glove with these people or be able to, you know, be able to make this in such a way that there is a place for us in this ecosystem.
That's a really good question. Truthfully, that is a huge barrier to entry. And a big question mark. We've been fortunate to test some big brands, and we're fortunate to be testing with some really big brands right now. Obviously, I cannot disclose anything, nor am I ever allowed to. But I can say this. It is absolutely a dominated space by the incumbents that they will go to any lengths to protect. They don't have this product. So when we have a discussion with a brand that's really interested, is it sticky on the other side? I'm never part of those conversations, obviously. I have to believe that it is because, you know, it's the classic kind of lousy example that people use on like a Shark Tank. You know, if we could get 1% of that industry, and it's a terrible example, and it's something I never say when I'm on the phone with an investor or anything else, because nobody likes that example. But in this case, forget using it as our purpose. For their purposes, if we were to take a few points off their table, it's a monstrosity of money for them. Lid and cup businesses, it's big, big business. So we don't really have the answer. When we're speaking to a brand, we don't really know what's going on the other side of that phone line. We don't know if that brand is hesitating because there's a relationship there with an incumbent that's going to say, you're bringing something in that replaces our lid? No, you're not. I don't think so. We don't have the answer. And you touch on such a, I wish we knew, but we don't. It's part of the reason, which we'll talk about, that we are diving hard into e-commerce very shortly.
Well, let's get into that. Let's get into e-commerce because, you know, only have so much time to this. So let's focus on that because that would be a good ending question. how do you, you know, if you can't dominate the behemoths, if you can't get a percentage of these people's business, and I think you will, I honestly think you will, what are the other opportunities for you to be able to look at this?
They're not inviting us in the swamp.
There we go. It says you're going to have to make sure that you build your own boat and be able to pilot your own boat in the swamp. And I get that.
I could tell you this, where they are not welcoming us into that swamp. They might even like the product. I bet that they do. But they probably also look at the product thinking, this is what we do. So that's a new lid, and that's our domain. So to that end, during COVID, obviously, we're in food service. So with all of the closures and stadiums and theme parks and theaters and everywhere our product belongs, festivals, outdoor fairs, all the perfect places that GoLids is handheld, covered, sanitary, protected, perfection. And all that shut down, right? QSRs are open, but they are not really in an innovation moment. They're in a moment of survival. What do we do? How do we do it? Anything that disrupts how they do things, that's the last thing that they want inside their location. And we were fortunate that some brands did reach out to us. But, you know, there are the bold brands that want to be first. And then there are the ones that only do things when they see someone else do it. So they're the competitive edge people, competitive edge brands. They want to jump out in front. They don't really care about data. They want to create that data. And then you get everybody else that goes off data. And I could give you some, I wish I could give you some examples and I can't, but it's really interesting. It's an interesting mindset. So during this whole time, we started thinking, okay, well, who are the ultimate decision makers when it comes down to product? Consumers and users. It's not the brands, right? It's their decision if they want to carry it, but it's ultimately consumers dominate us. They're the bosses of everybody, right? That famous quote from Jack Welch, right? At the end of the day, we work for consumers. If they don't like us, if they don't like our product, if they don't approve of an innovation, they're not going to use it. They're not going to celebrate it. They're not going to support it. So in that mindset, we're thinking, all right, let's just go straight to consumers. And that's what we are going to do. So we are launching different packages on Amazon and Walmart. There are going to be pre-packs of GoLids in different size categories that are universal, like you said, across 50 brands. You know, that one 32-ounce lid is compatible with not even 50, thousands of brands of those cups. And that's part of our technology. And even some of it's not in our patents because it's a kind of like trade secrets of what we did to actually come to that conclusion and how to size them. And then we're going to have another package category, which is compatible with Solo party cups, brand new life party cups. Here's this cup that's been around dominating the market forever. Now you have this vehicle like GoLids to clip on top, and suddenly it becomes a handheld, on the go, covered, convenient, safe vehicle for your whole family. Tailgating, boating, the pool, home birthday parties with children. It's just a great way to give new life to a product that's been on, around forever. And we started realizing if we go straight to them, they're the decision makers. They're the ones, consumers will let us in that door. Consumers love innovation. They love new things. That's what Amazon's business is about. They're thriving. People are on there all day and all night, especially Prime members. And you see something that's $10.99, $14.99, $19.99, $29, no big deal. Sure, I'll try it. And so that's what we're doing. And in an effort to get some data on our own, to see if we were barking up the right tree, or is that not a good idea? We went on TikTok with our video strategy. We've been on there since I think we started in August. And we went on there, and well, since that time till now, we've amassed about 19 million views. Crazy. We've gone viral, I don't know, a dozen or more times already. And it's mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing. It was eye-opening for me because, you know, TikTok, when I thought of TikTok before we got on there, I thought of teeny boppers dancing around like crazy people to dances and showing themselves off. Little did we know that that is not at all what TikTok's about. That's how it started. But every brand is on there, every brand. And it is such an amazing tool to be seen and to demonstrate what you do, how you do it. And that's exactly what we've been doing. We've taken that kind of short form video strategy, really quick, snappy, get to the point videos, nothing too long, get to it. And the response has been tremendous. And what's even more tremendous are the comments, which is, where do I get it? Oh my God, I have to have that. That's the greatest thing since sliced bread, innovation, et cetera, et cetera. I cannot wait. When is it launching? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments. So that fueled it for me, for all of us, because now we could at least look around and say, we have some data. We've got a metric to go off of. We've got a way to say, okay, this is something they want. Whether or not that brand is going to bring it in and offer it to them kind of now is not the number one question, because they can get their hands on the innovation without that coffee brand saying, we now offer goat lids. Hopefully it helps to get those brands to see that their consumers want it, support it, buy it, and they can feed into the combo strategy to drive revenue and blow their customer experience out of the water. One that these people will never forget. And if they can do that, and if that's maybe what they want, and maybe a lot of these brands, that is what they want to see. They want to see the adoption from consumers. They want that data to say, okay, and it becomes mainstream where consumers go somewhere and start talking about the product to the brand. You guys should be carrying this product. And we're going to be doing a host of things on TikTok. Show us what you put in the lid, all these different competitions and contests around, you know, using the vehicle. It's such a social media friendly vehicle, GoLids. And that's another angle that brands, obviously, they're all focused on organic content. No one wants to be sold by that old school Coca-Cola commercial anymore. They want to see something in the street. They want to see real people that they recognize, not corporate spokespeople and models. And a lot of that just doesn't work anymore.
Well, it's, you know, and I'll summarize this up, is that by looking at this strategy of sitting there going, okay, let's go consumer first. Let's get the early adopters. Let's get the test market. Then all of a sudden, the smaller QSRs might take a leap at this thing because they're looking at small innovative. When the small ones get adoption on this, then all of a sudden the larger ones start taking a look at it. So it's building up the brand organically. And I love this, the fact that you're driving this through your video strategy, because what you're doing is you're building up the self-interest. You're building up people to sit there and say, wait a second, we need to be talking about something that nobody was talking about before. And that's the brilliance.
We have plenty of proof of concept on the ground already, from stadium to QSRs. You know, our product is out there. I'm grateful we have a nice roster of customers, but we want more. And of course we want bigger. Everybody, what company?
Absolutely.
Who doesn't want to grow and get bigger? Thankfully, we have a really good amount of data in our hands already from the food service B2B world. And if we didn't have that, I don't think we could go down this road without it. So, and, you know, again, coming on 9 years, if we didn't have anything, well, we would have we'd have a much bigger problem than just launching e-commerce. But another angle we're taking with e-commerce, and this is something I'm really excited about, for a very long time, well, really the entire time up until now, you cannot buy GoLids from us unless you purchase pallets. And during the pandemic, just an amazing amount of inquiries coming through. During the pandemic and pre-pandemic, we would like to try your innovation. We have 3 locations, 5 locations, 10 locations, maybe even 20. But we don't want to buy pallets and we don't want to invest a massive amount of money. We would like to test it. And our answer, we want to say yes to those people, but the reality is that that's not what we did. So we don't ship cases. We don't do pick and pack 2 cases at a time. So I realized we're not serving their needs. And I noticed it even more during the pandemic because we had even more inquiries come through. Can they wrap their head around a couple hundred dollars to try a brand new product? Absolutely. Can they wrap their head around thousands? Not necessarily, not in this economic moment. And so we are adding e-commerce, small business to our website. They're going to be able to go on, buy one case, two cases, four cases right away through e-commerce. We're linking it over to Shopify. We have a 3PL that's going to pick and pack and ship all over the US and Canada. And any company that wants in to try our innovation, all they have to do is say yes to two cases for a couple hundred dollars and not a pallet for $3,500.
I love it, because what you're doing is you're making an easy entry. So let's leave it there, because you and I could talk for another hour. You and I could talk for another hour. But
of course we could.
What I want to do is and we'll make sure that everybody knows how to get in touch with you. It's golids.com, but we'll make sure that all that is in the show notes. I have one question to ask you, and then I'm going to let you go. When you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you or GoLids when you're not in the room?
I would say the most important for me and for GoLids would be that they understand that we truly care about their business, and we're not just there to force a product on them. And I say that because, you know, sales is sales. And so everyone's selling something. I don't care who you are. If you're a person, you're selling potentially your consultant service, you're selling a product, you're selling something. Everybody's selling something at the end of the day, or you're selling yourself. And I always want to make it clear that we're not just about that. We're here because we actually care about our customers. We want to leave an impression that we care about their businesses. We've done our homework. We know what their needs are. We understand their intentions. We also clearly understand their concerns and their boundaries. And I think all of that comes under care, which is, I'm not just here to chuck something in your face and leave and hope I get an order. We're here to understand everything you stand for and what's important to you.
Bonnie, it's been a brilliant conversation. Thank you for being here. I hope my audience gained as much as I did out of this. And I hope that you sell these things, not only by the 53-foot container, but also around the world. So may this be a success beyond your even dreams.
To the moon, Alice, to the moon.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?